Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Let's hope it's not the flash before the end. Welcome to The Savage Nation. Today's show has a theme, and the theme is there's no such thing as a moderate liberal. Write it down. I coined it for you. I'll explain it for you. It is not derivative. It's not from anyone else. It's specifically for the Savage Nation audience. There's no such thing as a moderate liberal. Now, the reason I have thematically named the show for that theme is because we're being told that Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court is a moderate. We keep hearing he's a moderate. Well, there's no such thing as a moderate liberal because liberalism itself is a radical philosophy whose aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. That's an original to Michael Savage. You can't find it anywhere else. It's not derived from one of the intellectual geniuses at the National Review or one of the geniuses at the Weekly Standard. It's for you, from me. No, he's not a moderate at all. He is a slow, stealth, radical liberal like the rest of them. And there's no better example of what a moderate liberal really is than what just happened in the state of California that is not being reported by the vermin in the media. As you may know, the other day, a California highway patrolman was killed while on duty. He was helping a motorist, heavy snow. A woman tried to pass everyone on the road. She sped out of control, spun into him, and killed him. And there was a funeral for him. Well, today, the California Highway Patrol asked the governor's office, Governor Moonbeam Brown, if they could have a procession from the morgue in Reno, Nevada to Roseville, California. And the purpose of this procession is to allow people to pay their respects as this officer makes his way to his grave. Jerry Brown said no. No procession from the morgue. Do you know why? Because they don't want you to think that an officer of the law is a human being. This so-called moderate liberal, Jerry Brown, is making certain that the vermin in the media do not make law enforcement a positive story. So please don't tell me that President Obama's Supreme Court pick, Merrick Garland, is a moderate. It's a ploy. None of them are moderates. First of all, he comes from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I believe he's there. I don't really know if he's there. I think he is. But the fact of the matter is, liberals are saying they hate him because he's not liberal enough. And conservatives are just being stupid and saying, well, we oppose him because they come up with reasons such as it's not necessarily important that we appoint someone during this time of the election. We have to wait for the new president. Then you have the geniuses in the media saying, well, the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot because if they don't take Obama's appointment now and vote on it, if Hillary should win, it's going to be a far more radical. It's a lie. The whole thing is a lie from top to bottom. And I'll repeat my theme again. There is no such thing as a moderate liberal. Write it down. Make believe you came up with it yourself and call all the other talk shows like you're a genius. And when the host says to you, well, what do you mean there's no such thing as a moderate liberal? Say to them, liberalism is a radical philosophy whose aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. Well, okay, I wrote that for you this morning because that's what this guy is. There's no moderate in him. Liberalism cannot be moderate by its definition. And so that opens the show. Let's listen to Obama naming his nominee for SCOTUS, Merrick Garland, in clip one, please.
Today I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court. Now, in law enforcement circles and in the legal community at large, Judge Garland needs no introduction. But I'd like to take a minute to introduce Merrick to the American people whom he already so ably serves. He was born and raised in the land of Lincoln. And my hometown of Chicago and my home state of Illinois.
Okay. You get the picture. Now he's setting it up that he's a moderate. Now he's setting it up that if the Republicans don't give Garland a vote, it will begin a process that's beyond repair. Now he's setting it up the evil Republicans won't even vote. So listen to clip three now. Jump to three.
To suggest that someone as qualified and respected as Merrick Garland doesn't even deserve a hearing, let alone an up or down vote, to join an institution as important as our Supreme Court, when two-thirds of Americans believe otherwise, that would be unprecedented. To suggest that someone who has served his country with honor and dignity, with a distinguished track record of delivering justice for the American people, might be treated, as one Republican leader stated, as a political piñata, that can't be right.
No, you know what's right and wrong. You're the arbiter of all right and all wrong. Now, the best evidence against this nominee can be heard in the following clip. Clip number five speaks for itself. Robert, play five, please.
As his former colleague on the D.C. Circuit and our current Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, once said,
bingo,
anytime Judge Garland disagrees, you know you're in a difficult area. At the same time, Chief Judge Garland is more than just a brilliant legal mind. He's someone who has a keen understanding that justice is about more than abstract legal theory, more than some footnote in a dusty casebook.
Boy, he's a good reader of scripts, our president. You know, you got to hand it to him. He must have rehearsed that over breakfast. So again, I go back to my main point. There's no question for you. Infidels, there is no question for you. My statement speaks for itself. There is no such thing as a moderate liberal. Liberalism is a radical philosophy whose aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. And so I would ask you a question, actually. Here's the question. Who would you nominate for the Supreme Court? I know who I'd pick. If Trump wins, there's one man who comes to mind. It's not a talk show host. No. It's a senator. His name is Jeff Sessions. Now, there's a man who should be on the U.S. Supreme Court. What is astonishing about this is that Obama is citing the fact that the undertaker from Utah, who gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who pushed her onto the Supreme Court back in the 90s, is in favor of this nominee. Do you know who I'm talking about? Who wants to win a free book? Who am I talking about when I say the undertaker from Salt Lake City? Come on. Come on, join the audience today. I know you're all burned out. 855-407-282. Who am I referring to when I say the undertaker from Utah? The man, the senator, who gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who allegedly is a conservative, which he isn't. He pushed her on the Supreme Court. Now he wants to push this one on. No takers. I'll count to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I think we have one person who knows. We know what happened in the primaries yesterday. Trump won three states. Little Marco is out. Little Marco is, I hear, going to open an ice cream stand in Havana. Fidel has extended a hand of friendship to him. Since the family has such deep ties, he's saying, come home, Marco. And you can bring your bicycle and your ice cream truck right to Havana, Marco, and we'll give you a preferred route in front of the Nacional, the hotel once owned by Maya Lansky. Well, infidels, I can see this is a dead subject. No one cares about SCOTUS. You'd rather talk about scooters. You'd rather talk about Scooter Libby than SCOTUS. I was actually going to open the show with this. Play the opening again with The White Light, which I love. Love this song. I was going to say, hello, infidels. I hope all my climate deniers out there are having a good day. With sea levels rising millimeters per century, it's time to buy your Noah's Arks. And don't forget galoshes for the entire family. All can be found at Harry's House of Rubber on I-95 at the corner of 380, where the intersection of Main and Center Street come together for all of your needs in the area of rubber. That's a local ad on a local station that doesn't exist. I'm trying to awaken you to the fact that there's very serious business going on, but I think you're a little bit burned out. Ivana Trump says Bernie's a communist that I would know. She says, I was born in a communist country. Well, she agrees with me. Of course he is. If it talks like one, walks like one, quacks like one, it's a commie. Bernie Sanders is a radical communist of the lowest order, or you could say the highest order, depending on which side of the aisle you're from. If you're a Democrat, he's at the lowest order communist. If you're a conservative, he's the highest order communist. He's the highest order communist who ever got this far in American politics. This is how smart he is. There it is. We have a winner. Do you have a beeper that can go, eh? No more calls on who the Undertaker is from Utah. I do have listeners out there. They were listening to me. Anthony, WABC, you're a winner. Give us the name of the Undertaker from Utah, the senator who gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's now telling us that Merrick Garland is a moderate. Who is it?
Orrin Hatch.
Bingo. How did you know that?
Well, he's the only one that comes to mind when you think of Utah. So, but can you give me a couple of minutes? Because I'll have to make a few other comments as well.
All right. You're on the air. Go ahead. Have fun.
Why do we eat our own, Mike? Fox News betrayed us. Glenn Beck, you know, I don't know what planet he's on right now. Megyn Kelly, forget it. It's just ridiculous what's going on. You don't see Hillary doing that. Black lives
Have I betrayed you? Have I changed my philosophy during this primary season? Yes or no?
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. I'm the only one who didn't waffle on Trump. All the others waffled on him in the beginning because they didn't know which way the wind blew. I am the only one who saw it for what it was. He was the only chance we had to defeat Hillary. I said so from the get-go. And I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm the only one who did. So what should I get, a halo for that? I'm not going to get a halo for it. I'm a man who sees things and explains to you what I see. And I genuinely don't change my positions at all unless I find myself to be completely wrong. And I wasn't wrong on Trump. I keep hearing, oh, he's not a conservative, he's not a this, he's not a that. That's wonderful. You know, like, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. All these complainers, these Rubio and Cruz people, they sound like people who lost the Civil War, who ran around with Confederate money that was worthless. And they, you know that this went on in America, Anthony, did you know this? That after the Civil War, there were people running around in America saying, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. Are you aware of that? No, no one knows these things. I know these obscure things. Anthony, you're a winner of the book Government Zero. So now I should say, save your conservative money. The conservatives will rise again. Yeah, when will they rise again? When were they last seen? Long, long time ago. My friends, the times, they are a-changing. I want to win. I want to defeat Hillary. He's the best possibility we have to defeat her. And make no mistake about it, yeah, he's a populist. He's not a, let's say, textbook conservative. Textbook conservatives win nothing, generally win nothing. Doesn't mean they're bad people. But they belong in classrooms, not in the political stage. They don't survive anywhere else. There's not enough true conservatives out there. And no matter what you may like, it's not going to change in the near future. And again, I want to go back to my main theme on the pick for the Supreme Court. I think it's a very important topic. And I think it's worth repeating what I said at the outset, that there's no such thing as a moderate liberal. And who would you nominate to be on the Supreme Court? Remember what I said to you. Please remember this. Liberalism is a radical philosophy whose aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. I'm Michael Savage, and I wrote that for you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. So we have Obama running a game on us, saying that his pick for Supreme Court is a moderate. And, of course, Republicans are going to not vote on him. Then he's going to say that they're radicals and the evil Republicans. And then we're afraid he's going to pick someone more radical. But as I said to you, it's all a game. Politics is all a game from top to bottom. And the important thing to remember is that this pick is not a moderate liberal because it's an oxymoron. You cannot say moderate and liberal in one breath. There is no such thing as moderation when it comes to liberals. It's a radical philosophy. And a number of years ago, I talked about this, and I said to you, who is the enemy within? I said, oh, there's plenty of names out there. Perhaps we should put our own names down as the enemy within. And why did I say that? I said, because most of us have failed our own democratic system by not being vigilant. Most of us have looked the other way while our borders, language, and culture have been diluted. I said there's also an ideological divide as to an enemies list. Both left and right created operatives who are enemies of our way of life, enemies of firm borders, English as a national language, and a common cultural glue. And then I asked you years ago on this show, the question really becomes, who do you fear most, the vast right-wing conspiracy or the vast left-wing conspiracy? And my answer was, if you analyze both sides of the equation, you will come to see the right wing supports God, country, family, the military, and has far higher moral standards than the left. The left operates specifically to undermine God, country, family, and the military. The left uses the courts to undermine the popular will. What they cannot gain through the ballot box, they gain through the gavel. And I give examples. And so, my friends, if God could vote, he would be a member of the vast right-wing conspiracy. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be, well, nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We were talking about the enemy within. There's no greater enemy within than Barack Obama, who has disrupted the entire order of the world for the, not for the betterment of the world. Just look at the Middle East, look at the flood of refugees, look at the anger and hatred in America. He caused it all. And today we're being told that his pick for Supreme Court is a moderate, which is a complete and total fraud. As I said to you earlier, I keep repeating it all day till it, you know, it's heard. There's no such thing as a moderate liberal. Liberalism is a radical philosophy whose sole aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. And a great example is what's going on. It hasn't made the news yet, but I know it from an inside source. Governor Brown is posed as a moderate liberal. But this moderate Jerry Brown has told the California Highway Patrol, the most elite police in the state, they're not allowed to have a procession from the morgue in Reno to Roseville, California. This would have allowed people to pay their respects. It would have humanized the cop who was killed. It would have made law enforcement sympathetic to the public. But Jerry Brown hates police. All liberals hate police. And so you have to understand that when you hear that they're moderate liberals, it's an oxymoron. None of them are moderate. Their job is to destroy everything that's sacred to those of us who are on the right-wing conspiracy side. And I said to you, if God could vote, he would be a member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, Jerry. In fact, to the mad dog leftists and the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, the Democrat Party, God is the enemy itself. The extreme left has attempted to redefine family and patriotism, to redefine marriage, to redefine patriotism, and I'm trying to reaffirm the actual meaning of these words, of the most basic concepts of family, nation, and morality. And I point out on a daily basis how internal enemies have undermined our religion, schools, courts, military, media, and police. And I've always acted as a Paul Revere on the radio and in my writings. And this is the Midnight Call. And if I were given the comedy in this radio show today, which I'm not, I might say my Midnight Call would be the liberals are coming. The liberals are coming. But these times do not lend themselves to comedy. Moreover, the liberals aren't coming. They're here already. They've conquered all. The damage they're doing and have done is very difficult to calculate. The precise connection between extreme liberal pressure groups and outright criminal activity is difficult to determine, but it does exist. Many of you are under the false impression that civil libertarians are sincere in their desire to protect our liberties from an oppressive government. That's the message they have sold you for decades. If that were the case, how can you explain what they are doing now on every level? The U.S. Justice Department has been using the USA Patriot Act not only to fight terrorists, but also to catch child pornographers, drug traffickers, blackmailers, spies, money launderers, and even corrupt foreign leaders. Well, you say, well, who would argue that any tool that can be used to trap drug traffickers and child pornographers is a bad tool? There's an answer to that. The answer is the red diaper doper babies in groups such as the People for the American Way, run by that, well, that stupid actor who played Meathead. In fact, there was a guy named Elliot Minkberg who was legal director for People for the American Way, which is a radical leftist civil liberties group, often critical of everything America stands for, especially the police and military. And he said the following: what the Justice Department has really done is to get things put into the law that have been on prosecutors' wish list for years. They've used terrorism as a guise to expand law enforcement powers in areas totally unrelated to terrorism. Well, I would have asked Mr. Minkberg if he feels child pornographers, spies, and drug dealers deserve the special protections they have been enjoying for decades thanks to liberal judges and laws. This front group, People for the American Way, from Hollywood, has another spokesman by the name of Ed Asner. He's that fat old guy who hates America. Hates America. His name is Ed Asner. Now, he may be a buffoon to you, but the damage he and the People for the American Way have done to our law enforcement agencies is inestimable, as you can see by the Minkberg statement, in that they oppose the government's ability to capture the worst domestic criminals imaginable, criminals who have often been able to evade the law owing to clever lawyers and the liberal judges they plant on the courts. Also chiming in on the government's use of the terror law to pursue a variety of other crimes was someone you've forgotten. His name was Anthony Romero. A long while ago, he was executive director of the Subversive American Civil Liberties Union. And he opposed it as well. And I asked what side was Mr. Romero on. And by the way, where is Anthony Romero now? I assume he's working for Obama somewhere. But you know, they're not alone. Joining these extremists was Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. He's one of the worst extremists in Congress. Leaky Leahy, we used to call him. Leaky Leahy. He opposes everything that's decent in the country. And that's why child pornographers and drug dealers have been able to get away with their vile crimes for so long, because of the enemy within our courts and our fifth column civil liberties organizations. Well, you get the picture. And so here we are. He wants to appoint a moderate liberal to the Supreme Court. And as I've told you, there's no such thing as a moderate liberal. None whatsoever. And I hope today's show will act as an awakening to you, the listener. And I hope you'll come to understand that America is crying for those who will defend her against the enemy within. And the best chance we have is Donald Trump. Realize he doesn't meet the purity test of the popes of the conservative movement. Pope and the cardinal of the conservative movement say he's not pure enough for them. No one meets their litmus test, by the way. No one is pure enough for them, but nevertheless, he's absolutely no good. You know, I almost wanted to ask you today if you're a Cruz supporter or a Marchio supporter. We'll call him Marchio. It's easier. If you're a Marchio supporter or a snake supporter, I mean a Cruz supporter, that snake thing did it for me. Rubio's crybaby speech last night was one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. He was sniveling. When he brought up God, I wanted to break the radio and television at once. I'm sorry, I don't like hearing about God in every political speech. I don't like it. I don't live in a theocracy. I don't live in Saudi Arabia. I don't want to live in a fundamentalist Christian nation. By the way, I do not want to. I love fundamentalist Christians. I respect their right to their practices and their religion. They're the backbone of America. But I like the separation of church and state, don't you? I really don't like religion and politics. And I've had too much of it from Cruz and from Rubio. In fact, it's nauseating. The correct word is cloying. There's a certain element of, what's the right word? It's insincere. Whenever anyone waves their religion in your face, you generally know that they're not authentically religious, because the religious people I know generally don't push it down my throat. And when they try to push it down your throat, they're either covering up some great defect in themselves, or they're just faking it, you know, they think the people want to hear it. I get the ick factor from it when they wave Bibles at me or snakes, whatever it may be. 855-400-7282. Okay, Rashid on WJR, go ahead. Go ahead, Rashid, make my day.
You ever have anything good to say about what you call liberals or Democrats. I've listened to you for a week now, and I am of the mindset that there is good and bad on both sides. I am a staunch Democrat, but I know that there are good, are very good views that Republicans have, and there are very good views that Democrats have.
All right, so give me a very good give me a very good view that a liberal has.
A good view that a liberal has is, as far as free, well, what you all would call pro-choice. You're against that now. I love God, but what I do know is I cannot get your way, get you a way into heaven, meaning if you choose to kill or choose to abort a child, it is not my place to help you get into heaven. Even though I don't believe, I do not believe in killing babies at all. But what I do know is when a woman chooses, if she would like to send herself to hell, that is on her. That is her choice.
Well, that's an interest. That's an interesting point, but I don't think you're making a liberal point, Rashid.
Well, I mean, you.
I mean, I actually think you're making quite a serious religious point in what you're saying.
But I mean, well, that's considered a liberal view because abortion is completely wrong to conservatives and Republicans. You all don't like that. I don't know your party that you go for, but I just assumed it was Republican.
Well, I'm not a Republican. No, I'm an independent. I have been for 15 or 20 years. I've never voted as a Republican in my entire adult life. When I was a youth, I was a social worker in New York City, so I was quite liberal as a kid until I learned what liberalism is and how caustic it really is to traditional values. And you're speaking about abortion right now. My position is that late-term abortion absolutely has to be outlawed, absolutely outlawed. It's not a woman's choice to commit infanticide. I mean, I would start from that point of view and work my way down from there.
Okay. Well, I agree with you on that.
In other words, how many months in a pregnancy should a woman have the right to choose before it becomes murder or infanticide? You sound like a very religious man.
Yes, but I'm gonna be honest with you. It shouldn't take months, plural. I think within 30 days, you should have made up your mind what you're going to do.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. 30 days what?
I said, I think 30 days is a long enough time for you to have made up your mind on what you're going to do. Because there are kind of...
Wait, sir, Rashid, I'm sorry. Made up my mind to do on what, though? On what issue?
On a woman having a baby. I mean, you're saying months. I'm not saying you give someone months.
You're saying a woman should make them. I'm sorry, I thought you meant I should. Okay. But, Rashid, okay, you know, you have a right to be a liberal, but remember my point of view is that a bird needs two wings to fly. Right now, the bird called America is flapping in a single arc because there's only a left wing flapping. Barack Obama is an extreme liberal, radical left winger, a brilliant tactician, a brilliant politician. He's the Teflon president, and we have one wing flapping and the bird's flying in a circle. I say we need the right wing to start flapping so the bird can fly straight.
Okay, I would agree with that, but don't you think...
I mean, you say that there's good on both sides. I agree with you. Let's have some good come out of the conservative side for a minute here. We don't see it. We don't see it, Rashid. Now, you're a new listener to the show, which I respect, from WJR in Detroit, and I do like new listeners. They don't have priority over old listeners. I mean, I like my old listeners, new listeners. All listeners are king to me. But, Rashid, I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Government Zero. And I think of all people who are liberal, you are an open-minded man, and I hope you get a chance to look through this. Now, here's a great caller coming out of Texas on what I said to you. He's the only caller who heard me. A highway patrolman in California, veteran, was helping a motorist who spun out of control on I-80 the other day in a snowstorm. A woman tried to pass all the cars. She spun out of control and crushed the cop against the car, killed him. Officers rushed to the scene and tried to keep him alive. They died in his arms. He died in their arms. They saw the light go out of his eyes. It's like, if you've been in the military, guys, okay, having a fellow die in your arms, I want to touch your heartstrings. That's what just happened to the highway patrol officers who rushed to his aid. Now he's dead. Light went out of his eyes. And Governor Brown, the, quote, moderate liberal, says, no, you cannot have a funeral procession from Reno, Nevada, to Roseville, where he's going to be laid to rest. I told you before, there's no such thing as a moderate liberal. Governor Brown is the best example I know. And to his eternal shame, the police should never vote for him again. They should never vote for a liberal in California again. But that's a moot point. I'm just showing you some reason for watching out for when you hear there's a moderate liberal. They're all radicals. I'll be back. Look, there's a lot to talk about today. Not only the primaries and Trump dropping out, and he should have. I told him to drop out 4 debates ago. He was on the show. I said, Donald, don't do any more debates. They're meaningless. They're only for them to sell tissue paper. You're not getting anything out of it. So he dropped out, and good for him. What does he need it for? What, to be attacked by her again? By Mata Hari with that hairdo? I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Well, you know, I wrote a novel years ago called A Time for War. We are in a political war. And with the assassination of Justice Scalia, the passing of Justice Scalia, pardon me. I'm sorry that Pravda told me what happened. My common sense doesn't work at all. I mean, he just passed away at a resort in Texas. There were no suspicious circumstances because that's what Izvestia tells us. Pravda tells us that Justice Scalia was an old man. And although we asked for an autopsy, there was no need for one. Because we, the people, don't need one. Now, although JFK was plainly shot in the head, his head exploded, he was still subjected to an autopsy because that's what's done with a major league public figure or even a bum. If a bum is found dead in the streets, they have to perform an autopsy. But you see, in the case of Scalia, because we have Wolf Blitzer and reliable sources like him, Jake Tapper, for example, these brilliant men who are there only to tell us the truth, we eschew our common sense. We don't need an autopsy. There were no suspicious circumstances. He put the pillow over his own head. As I say, so we don't need to think for ourselves. They think for us. And we're being told now that Obama's a good liberal centrist. He's a moderate man. And that his appointment to Supreme Court that he'd like is a moderate. As I said, there is no such thing as a moderate liberal, boys and girls. Liberalism itself is a radical philosophy. There's one aim of liberalism, to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. And that's my position. We come back, I want to hear White Light. I like that song better than I like philosophy or poetry or politics.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
My hat off to my dog, Teddy, sitting here under the desk. Here's a little news for you to show you how liberalism works. Just came out in Los Angeles. I'm going to read the headline cold. I'm not adding any words to it. It's breaking news from the L.A. Times. L.A. to pay up to $30 million in settlement to provide job training for gang members. The Los Angeles City Council voted today to pay as much as $30 million to settle a class action lawsuit that accused the LAPD of enforcing unlawful curfews written into city gang injunctions. Now, if this doesn't indicate why we need Donald Trump, I'd like to know what does. Because if it was me, I'd throw the ACLU in prison. I'd seize the assets of them and their whole family going back. You have no idea what this is about, do you? Do you know who sued them? The ACLU. Oh, you can't take gang members and give them a curfew. We want them on the streets to sell drugs. Now, you have to understand something I've been trying to tell you for years, and I can't prove it. But I have suspected for many years that these civil rights organizations are fronts for criminal enterprises to a certain extent. They're not all as kosher as you may think. They work hand in glove with the drug dealers, the drug gangs. So the city wanted drug dealing stopped. So the court, the city puts in an injunction against an Oxnard gang. and the vermin in the civil liberties business, the gang, the civil liberties gang, said that it wasn't clear enough and you violated the drug dealers' rights in the housing project. You violated the rights of the Culver City Boys gang. And so therefore we're going to sue. They're suing on behalf of them and they won. And the LAPD anti-gang officers who arrested them were evil police. Just came out now that they have to pay $30 million to so-called nonprofit groups. Now, you know nonprofit groups, what they are, don't you? You know where that money flows up, how that works. The Bernie racket, the Hillary racket. L.A. to pay up to $30 million in curfew lawsuit settlement to provide job training for gang members. Now, who's the big loser in this? The poor people who live in the poor neighborhoods are the biggest loser. The second biggest loser are the taxpayers in the city of Los Angeles. And the third biggest losers are America. Job training for gang members? Are you joking? The only thing they're good for is going to jail. It's the only job they know is to go to prison. Okay, so now that opens the hour two. There's no such thing as a moderate liberal. I just proved it to you. Obama's appointment to the Supreme Court, a fake, a feign. Liberalism is a radical philosophy whose sole aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. Those are my words. I didn't read it anywhere. Now I'll take your calls on any topic you want to talk about. KCMO, Kansas City. Daniel, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's your topic?
I'm just a Bernie supporter. Wanted to defend him a little bit with you. Streets, libraries, schools, police, firemen.
We don't have any of those things?
We have those things in our capitalist democracy that are technically socialist. Would you?
What's your point? So now you want to go 100% socialist with Bernie?
Well, no. Okay, so here's my point. If you call 911, only one service will bankrupt you in America. And most other countries solved this ages ago.
Well, sorry, I missed that point. If you call 911, what happens?
If the police show up, they're not going to bankrupt you. If the firefighters show up, they're not going to bankrupt you. But if
I don't know what is your point? I don't know what you're saying.
Up, just an ambulance, take you to the emergency.
Yeah, Daniel, could you please be a little more clear on what you're trying to say? You're a supporter of Bernie, and you're saying socialism is good. Is that what you're trying to argue?
I'm saying that we're already part socialist.
But I know that. I've said that for 20 years. We're 60 to 70% socialist already. And? So now you want to make it 100% socialist?
Well, I really view healthcare as a human right, and I don't know how a Christian could look at it as,
Here we go. Bleeding heart liberal. So you mean all billions of people on the earth have a right to come here and I have to pay for their care?
Well, I'm saying if you call yourself a Christian and...
Well, stop telling me what I call myself. You're trying to sell socialism on a national talk show. You're alleging that health care is a right. It's a right for who?
So Jesus cured...
Stop with the Jesus already. This is not a theological discussion. It's a political discussion. Somebody has to pay for that health care. So if an illegal alien from Guatemala comes here with tuberculosis, I have to pay for that health care? When in the past my grandfather was stopped at Ellis Island, and if anybody had a disease, they were sent home? Well, what kind of country is this? We are bankrupt, my friend. Socialism, as Margaret Thatcher said, is a wonderful system until you run out of other people's money. Where is the money supposed to come from for all of these pie-in-the-sky liberal programs that Bernie is offering?
Our Navy is larger than the next 12 navies combined.
Oh, well, then we should sink the ships, right? Turn them into flower pots with propellers?
Well, that's the Republican jobs program.
No, we don't need a Navy. I suppose we don't need a military to you, right? None whatsoever?
We can scale it back a little bit.
Scale it back. How would you scale it back? How much more would you scale it back than what Obama has done? Let's say you're a good socialist. How would you fight the greatest scourge the planet has seen since Hitler, ISIS? What would you do to stop them?
Well, let's be clear. George W. Bush created ISIS.
I don't care who created it. Irrelevant who created it. How would you stop them?
In creating a power vacuum.
I'm asking you how you would stop them. Stop already with telling me George Bush did it. How would you stop ISIS?
One of the things is we need to leave. We're a foreign invader. You know,
so you would walk away from young girls 8 years old being raped around the clock, young girls who are not Muslim being sold on the auction block. That doesn't bother you as a bleeding heart liberal?
Are you for permanent occupation?
I asked you a question. You're a good liberal. You're a bleeding heart liberal. Are you telling me you would turn a cold heart to all the girls who are being sold as slaves? Hello? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
I think.
Where are you? I'm asking you. Look, you think you're a humane man. I asked you a simple question. Would you walk away from the atrocities that are being committed by these Hitlers and headscarves?
Well, what about North Korea? Why do we?
No, don't change the subject. Answer the question. You're a good Bernie supporter. How come that loudmouth, phony, babbling, psychotic communist has nothing to say about ISIS? He has more hatred for Republicans than he does for the Hitlers and a headscarf. Just like you do. You're all deranged. You're all deranged, you fools, you. You're exactly the useful idiots that Lenin wrote about. The useful idiots. You ask him one question, he answers another. You bring up the atrocities of ISIS, he brings up North Korea. And his whole problem is the military. The military is too big. Cut back on the Navy. The Navy right now is as small as it's been since World War I. That's the Navy. You know, he wants less Navy after the... Okay, I'm not going to let him set me off. I went off enough already. We're going to go to other... I like this, though. This is good. The blood is flowing. That was a Bernie supporter. He wants socialism. He didn't argue how he'd pay for it. He didn't argue how he would take care of the atrocities, stop the atrocities being committed by ISIS. Said he blames George Bush. No answer to anything. Just pass the buck, and that's it. I say pass the ammunition. WMAL, Michelle, go ahead. Your topic, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm a Savagette here, and I'm a Ted Cruz supporter.
God bless you. I love it. I'm glad that you can support him and still listen to me. It shows you're open-minded.
I am, because sometimes some of the things you've said, I said, Dr. Savage, it's not true. I wish I could get through to you.
All right, well, you got through to me, so what do you want to say?
Well, what I'd like to say is, first of all, he was not an insider in the Bush administration. The Karl Rove team and some of those folks, they did everything to keep him out of the White House. Despite
wait, are you saying Ted Cruz was not an insider?
No, he was not an insider. He was sent over to the Federal Trade Commission in charge of a policy office. When
right,
he was,
but that means he was part of the Federal Trade Commission.
But he was the lead.
He was working for a governmental agency. That's true.
But Dr.
Okay, but let's put that aside. That's not a crime unto itself. What about his wife Heidi's work at Goldman Sachs and that she's a member of the CFR? Doesn't that at all set off any alarm bells in you?
No, it doesn't, because right now she's not doing that. She's staying at home, you know, standing by her man as a wife.
Well, she gave up her jobs and she's just making apple pies now for Ted? She's tending to the snakes in the backyard, in the snake pen? Come on. You're telling me she quit Goldman Sachs to put on an apron for Ted?
Dr. Savage, she's highly educated, okay, but there are women like that who choose to put their career on the side when their husband takes on a...
That's news to me. Heidi Cruz has given up her highly paid job at Goldman Sachs to bake pies for Ted?
I didn't say she's baking pies. She's on the campaign trail with him, with her daughters Caroline and Catherine. I mean, Cruz himself actually won 9 cases before the Supreme Court.
I'm not knocking Cruz's intellect. I think he has a super... I think he's much smarter than Trump. I think that he has a better grasp of the principles of conservatism than does Trump. I know all of that. But he is not electable. He doesn't have the charisma necessary to bring over the moderates or the so-called Reagan Democrats. They would never go over to Cruz, but they're going over to Trump. How do you explain that?
No, he's had people go over. He's won 9 states where Trump didn't win, okay? So Cruz actually...
He's not pulling the kind of numbers that Trump is pulling.
If you win Florida...
Well, okay, let's reverse the discussion. You're a Cruz supporter. You have every right to be. If Trump is the nominee, would you support him anyway or not?
If he's our party's nominee, yes, I would, but that's not my candidate. I mean,
that's fine. I'm glad to hear it because I don't want to hear fanatics say to me, I'd rather see Hillary elected than Trump. And that's what I'm afraid I'm going to hear from the Cruzites.
No way.
The bitterness. The bitterness is frightening, frankly. But, you know, Michelle, you make such a good point, and you're such a nice person, that I'm reminded of a sign in my father's little store. He had a little sign that said, "Don't go away, mad, just go away." I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. I'm not a cool guy. I'm just very middle of the road. I'm a stick-in-the-mud kind of guy. Always have been. Yeah, right. I'm not really a wild person. I'm a wild person inside, but not outside. So I'm watching the election. It's so boring at the end of the day. I like Trump because he's theatrical on top of everything else. I like theatrical people. There's a little Hollywood there. I like that. Most politicians make me fall asleep. They're liars anyway. Did I tell you Orrin Hatch would come out? There he was during the break. I told you at the beginning of the show. The same guy who gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg got himself a new striped suit, The Undertaker. And he came out and he started peddling already the Supreme Court nominee. Activists plot largest protest of century. Oh, there they go again. Activists. Activists. I say build holding cells for them all around the convention centers. Set them a mile away, like they did in the past. Give them a protest area a mile away from the convention. And those who break through it, throw them right in jail. Bring out the National Guard if necessary to put the rabble in where they belong. Give them what they want, which is prison, so they can have a stripe on their uniform that they worked in the liberal army to overthrow America. What now? Trump calls Clinton embarrassment. Adelson warms to Donald. He knows which way the wind blows. GOP official says voters don't pick nominee. We do. No matter what you say in the primaries, we're going to pick the nominee. I love that one. This guy should go right to prison. He said, "We don't care what you did during the primaries or the debates. We're going to pick him." Really? Okay, one-way ticket to Palookaville on that one. In a few minutes, we're going to have a man on named Martin Seif, who has an amazing bio. Formerly chief correspondent, foreign correspondent for the Washington Times. Chief news analyst, managing editor for UPI. 3 Pulitzer Prize nominations for international reporting. And the guy has an amazing background. And the reason we have him on is because he likes my book. And there was an article in the Baltimore Post-Examiner by Martin Seif entitled "Michael Savage, the Angry Man Worth Reading." And so he's going to speak with us for a few minutes on the program about, it's not so much about me, but about my ideas. And it says, Savage recognizes that the world is not flat and that there's no such thing as full and fair free trade, but that the negotiating tables of the world are always tilted. And he asks, why is this so difficult for the so-called readers and free market worshippers to understand? Why do the Cruzites not understand this, for example? Because they're following an edict of Ronald Reagan's times, which are outdated. What was called free trade in Ronald Reagan's time was a different form of free trade. Those principles no longer work because the casino has loaded dice against American companies. The machines have all been rigged. And so Ronald Reagan's concepts of free trade are over. They're dead. That's why Trump was wise to read my book and say we should have tariffs on Chinese and other goods. Ronald Reagan is dead, folks. Long dead.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
So it's the day after Super Tuesday. Everyone has a hangover. You've got the geniuses on Fox News showing you pie charts of who won what. And now Obama's trotting out a liberal, telling us that he's a liberal, Supreme Court. And my show today says there's no such thing as a moderate liberal, because liberalism itself is a radical philosophy whose aim is to slowly or rapidly erode or destroy the structural pillars of a traditional society. That's really good. That should live for many, many decades. That's so good. Better than anything I've ever written. Joining us right now is a man who wrote a headline entitled "Michael Savage, the Angry Man Worth Reading." the very distinguished journalist and author, Martin Seif. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. A pleasure.
So you've written books such as Cycles of Change, The Three Great Cycles of American History, and The Coming Crisis That Will Lead to the Fourth. You then wrote Gathering Storm, The Seventh Era of American History and The Coming Crisis That Will Lead to It. What exactly do you think is coming, and where does Trump fit in with all of this?
Trump is currently our only and best hope to survive this. America is going to see a combination of the Great Depression and World War II, and it will probably be much worse because we don't have the innate strength the country did 80 years ago because it's been eroded by the very liberal fallacies pushed through by the so-called conservatives as much as the liberals. And you clearly see this. You know this. You've been warning against this for decades. What I've recognized is there is a cycle here. There are patterns to American history. There isn't one America, Michael. There have been six Americas. Each America lasts about 40 years. It's defined by the president and charismatic figure who shapes that era. Jefferson was the first. Andrew Jackson was the second. Lincoln came after that. Teddy Roosevelt, of course, FDR. We are now at the end of the age of Reagan. The ideas that seemed to work so well in the early 1980s have run out of steam. They can't adapt to the challenges we face.
Hold on. This is fascinating because before the break, Mr. Seif, I said that many people who are not that well-informed think that just by parroting what Ronald Reagan said is going to save America. But the fact of the matter is the world has changed since Ronald Reagan, and his platitudes and his theories and his principles are not operational anymore. And that's the problem with many people who support Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz is a wonderful man and very intelligent, but he's really repeating a lot of Reaganisms, isn't he?
I agree with you 100%, Dr. Savage. I am an old Reagan Republican. I revered President Reagan, and for so many things, I still do. I was an old British Thatcherite. Mrs. Thatcher, to me, is one of the most admirable and remarkable leaders in world history. And if they were alive today, they wouldn't do what they did 36 years ago, because the world has changed, and they would recognize it.
So let's give an example to those who don't understand what's going on. In one of my previous books, I called for tariffs against China to stop their unfair trade practices. You've got Reaganites who are saying tariffs will destroy our economy. They're wrong, because what happened in 1980 is different than what's happening now. There was much fairer trade in 1980 than there is now. Wouldn't you agree with me?
I agree with you completely, and they're wrong on the most fundamental level as well. And I go into this in Cycles of Change. Free trade does not generate prosperity. Free trade generates ruin. America was an industrial society protected by tariffs from Abraham Lincoln for 100 years through Dwight D. Eisenhower, and the conservative Republican Party was the champion of those tariffs. And even Franklin Roosevelt, who was a liberal of the day, was a very different kind of liberal from now. He went along with them. The rot starts with the Kennedy round. Nixon, who was a total ignoramus on economics, lets it get out of hand. And then, by the time Reagan gets in, there's been a brain transplant. Free trade, which was always a democratic and liberal issue, suddenly becomes a neoconservative Republican Party issue, because large fat cat Wall Street investors can make more money from it.
But it's very true. Now, it's interesting because last night's primaries, especially in Ohio, were really mandates on jobs and who was best for jobs. So Kasich, I think, certainly appealed to the voters in Ohio to say he could bring jobs back. Trump said he's the guy to bring jobs back. In your opinion, who do you think of the two is better for restoring the industrial engines of America?
Is no question, Dr. Savage, none. Trump is the only man who recognizes the problem and can do it. Kasich was a central figure of the old free trade Republican establishment. He is lucky. He is lucky because fracking technology, which I discuss at length in my books too, gave the American heartland a new lease of life in the past decade, and Ohio benefited from that. But Kasich, who's a decent man and a competent administrator, administrator, but he wrote that. He was a free trader. He was an architect of NAFTA. He is he supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He is an architect of the ruin of America.
Martin, are you still with us?
Savage.
Did his phone just drop out? We'll get him back. He's really great. Martin, are you still there?
I am indeed, if you can hear me, sir.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're speaking with Martin Seif. Great, great background. Man who knows everything, political. Former chief foreign correspondent of the Washington Times. Chief news analyst, managing editor for international affairs for UPI. Received 3 Pulitzer Prize nominations for international reporting. He's not just an ordinary guy. He's a special man. And the reason I have him on the show is to talk about what's going on from the point of view of realpolitik. It's interesting to me, Mr. Seif, that Trump, who has no political experience, seems to intuitively have a better grasp of how to restore the industrial engine of America than any of them. Why do you think that is?
Because he has no political experience. The political system for the past 50 years, and I explore this in my books too, has been brainwashed with free trade. But free trade doesn't work. Everybody who, I've been arguing this in vain for decades with people, what do they give you? They give you theoretical arguments from Adam Smith and David Ricardo. Adam Smith and David Ricardo, as you well know, Dr. Savage, died and lived and died 200 years ago.
No, but I hear people in the media who call themselves conservatives espousing antique ideas that do not function and that have no relevance to this world.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, you know, I'm a collector of antique clocks. I'm a collector of old cars, but I really prefer a new car to, let's say, my 1959 Jaguar. I love looking at the Jaguar in the garage, but I don't dare take it out of the neighborhood for fear it'll break down. And to trot out ideas that are like these old cars and expect them to perform on freeways is ludicrous.
Yes.
So, Martin, what I like most about your writing is there's a sort of prophetic element in your titles, where you say that cycles of change, the seventh era of American history. Tell us what that era is that you see coming. Let's face, we don't know who's going to win. Who's going to win this election? Do you know?
If it's a fair election, if dirty tricks aren't played, I'm Irish. I know all about dirty tricks in politics. It ought to be Trump. Trump should sweep it. Because he's up against Hillary Clinton.
Now, wait a minute. You're for Trump because you're Irish and he has a golf course in Scotland. Come on, that's the real reason.
Golf? I mean,
no, Martin, so let's say it's a free election. He would win probably 60-40 over Hillary, wouldn't he, in a real election?
Because he would sweep the major industrial states. And he would sweep the heartland.
What about Ted Cruz? Tell me your reluctance to support him.
Identical to yours, Dr. Savage. Identical. He's an admirable man. In many respects, I was at a fundraiser of his in Washington. I mean, I was a fly on the wall. He wouldn't remember or recognize me, no reason to. But this was back in March. He's a genius. He's a brilliant political intellect. But he doesn't understand the economic issues. He thinks in legal terms. He reveres President Reagan, both to his credit, but also for the reason you said, too much. He's got the answers that 36 years ago worked or appeared to work brilliantly, but they don't begin to address the problems today. On the border, he is completely right. As you well know, he gets it. But on economic borders, the same principle, but he doesn't get it. Free trade doesn't work. It's a false prophecy. It's fake magic. Harry Potter wouldn't look at free trade for a second when he was waving his wand. They wouldn't teach that at Hogwarts.
Martin, you agree with me that open, unregulated borders to immigration and open economic borders are destroying our industry and scores of millions of well-paying industrial jobs. Wouldn't you say that the borders, particularly the one with Mexico, is the root of our problem?
Absolutely. Open borders and open economic borders are AIDS. They are much worse than AIDS. AIDS kills millions of people. Open economic borders destroy the lives, and open political borders threaten the lives or take the lives, potentially, of hundreds of millions of people.
You know, Martin, you said that you wouldn't be recognized by Ted Cruz. I'm actually going to recommend, you know, Donald Trump quoted himself today and said he's his own foreign policy advisor. The next time he's on the show, I'm going to recommend that he hire Martin Seif as his chief foreign policy advisor. He would do very well to listen to you.
Mr. Savage, any day of the week, it would be a pleasure and a privilege and an honor.
Well, I don't know that I have any influence over him. He comes on the show about once a week. He seems to like my support. I don't blame him. I have a decent audience. But, you know, when it comes to the ins and outs and the minutiae and the nuts and bolts of foreign policy, this seems to be your forte, right?
Absolutely.
So, Martin, what about military? Is this military, I wouldn't say beyond repair, but I know that Obama has performed a Stalin-esque decapitation of many, many able generals and admirals. From the captain level up, he has denuded the military. Would you agree with that analysis?
I think we're in confusion, yes, but it didn't start with Obama. It was a mess under Bush, and it didn't even start with Bush. It started with Bill Clinton. So much of the people tend to think of the Clinton era as a golden age, and we had apparently prosperity in those years, but so many things started going deadly wrong then, including the politicization of the military and the silencing of officers who spoke out against political leadership. And Bush, as is so often the case, followed Clinton slavishly. This is in my book, The Parallel in Cycles of Change, how Bush and Clinton were really peas in a pod. And Obama was actually elected by people who were angry and desperate like today. He offered hope, but he did not deliver on hope, Dr. Savage. And you understand this well. I was quite generous towards Obama when he came in. My argument was he had the potential, he had the chance to make some of the changes that were needed in America. But he lacked the intelligence. I think he lacked the courage. He simply lacked the vision to see what was necessary. So he blew it, which means the future is still up for grabs. And Trump is our best chance of saving that future. He is our best chance, just as Franklin Roosevelt was at the height of the Great Depression, and President Reagan was at the height of our national humiliation under Carter.
We're speaking with Martin Seif, brilliant foreign correspondent on the Savage Nation, who says, I'm an angry man worth reading. But when we come back, Mr. Seif, I'd like to get your opinion on your vision of America and the world should Hillary Clinton become the president. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com. Well, we have little time left. We're speaking with brilliant foreign policy analyst Martin Seif on the Savage Nation. Martin, welcome back to the program. If Hillary wins, can you paint a picture of what's coming for this country and the world?
At the very least, chaos, economic crisis, race riots, upheaval, out of control inflation, and that's my optimistic scenario.
What will she do to conservatives who agitate against her? Will she be as benign as we think?
I think if Barack Obama was a Roman emperor, he might be the Roman Emperor Claudius, who no one expected to become emperor. And his successor was the Emperor Nero, the legendary tyrant, who threw Christians into the arena. I don't think Hillary Clinton will do that, but in terms of her liberalism and in terms of her bungling capability, which is terrifying, she will be that bad.
But how does she get away with the email scandals, which has probably cost some of our agents their lives? How does she get away with this?
The media gives her a free ride, and she has... in my second book that you mentioned, In Gathering Storm, I explain there are two Americas. And you are enormously popular in one of those Americas, and you are hated in the other. You understand this already extremely well. There
yes.
is red state America, and there is blue state America, but it's not geographic. It's a state of mind. It's psychology. It's economics. You know everything. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But you
see, but Martin, don't worry about me. I'm having you on the show because you're talking to my audience from a different perspective than I am. And frankly, I find it very refreshing to hear you explain it in the way that you do. You know, I'm the only American member of the media banned from entering Britain. You know that very well.
I do indeed. I do.
And what I'm afraid of, personally, that if Hillary becomes president, she will impose these draconian laws that they have imposed in Europe, that they're imposing right now on conservative right-wing groups. They're outlawing them in Germany because they're anti-illegal immigrant. You know this. I'm afraid that they're liable to criminalize any opposition in this country if Hillary wins. That's my dire fear. Now you're sounding like you belong in radio. You better hit the cough button. Anyway, Martin Seif, brilliant man. You're welcome on this show on a regular basis. Your books are Cycles of Change, Gathering Storm, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Middle East. I thank you for enlightening my audience from a different perspective. When I come back, there's no such thing as a moderate liberal. We'll talk about Barack Obama's nomination for the Supreme Court and all the other news of the day, right here on the Savage Nation.
Logical nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
About drugs, sex, and rock and roll in the 70s, something I missed. I'll play it a little louder. I was busy with my nose to the grindstone, raising children, working two jobs, working for a doctor. Look at the fun they have. And they're still living. That's amazing. Well, some of them dropped by the wayside. So let's go to... that was a great interview, by the way. I like this guy because, I don't know, he was just different. Irish. I always like Irish people. I never met an Irishman I didn't like. It's a takeoff on a Lenny Bruce statement. No, Irish people have a certain lyricism. The ones who are well-read. The poetry, the art. The beer. They don't drink anymore. That's a stereotype that Irish drink. It's actually, I think they have the lowest consumption of alcohol in Europe to show you how far they've fallen. When they had a high consumption of alcohol, they produced great poetry. But since the alcohol has gone down in consumption, so has the poetry. That's a strange phenomenon I never thought about. Well, anyway, here's what's on michaelsavage.com, the website that I put out for you. Top right, Obama nominee has very liberal view of gun rights. All right, fine. He'll overturn Heller. Trump already, you know, won, forces Rubio out. Ivana Trump says Bernie's a communist, and I would know. I agree with her. Of course he's a communist. But to the uneducated children in America, or the diehard old-style 60s commies, he's not a communist because he's not communistic enough. Straight talk for Diseases Without Borders. Workers at three U.S. airports had possible ties to terrorism. Republicans addicted to increasing federal spending, thanks to Paul Ryan. Mom who drowned daughter regularly punished kids by placing them inside water-filled storage container. That's to show you that multiculturalism is wonderful. University of Cincinnati classics professor admits to downloading child porn every day for years. Look at the, you know, I'm not going to give you the picture. You have to look on my website. Michael Savage newsletter. That's free every 3 days a week. Here's your answer to the violent protests. Why Trump's Florida neighbors say they're voting for him. Michael Savage, the angry man worth reading. Soros alarmed by Trump pours money into 2016 race. Trump to Michael Savage says rally troublemaker should be in jail, not on TV. The Ides of March, the assassination of Julius Caesar and how it changed the world. Fascinating article from the London Telegraph. Was Scalia murdered? RedFlagNews.com announces Michael Savage winner of the 2016 Reader's Choice Trailblazer Award. What else is on my website? Let's go down to the bottom. Oh, I linked this up from the local paper today. Color photos, the West in Depression, World War II. You see the poor white folk, the sharecroppers. Amazing pictures. Today they'd be on opiates or on crack. How did they get through it? How did they work in the grape vineyards like the Mexicans. The whites worked the grapes of wrath. What do you think that was about by Steinbeck? White people who were driven out of Kansas, Oklahoma, the panhandle of Texas because of the dust storms. They were driven to California. They worked in the grape vineyards, picking grapes. How come they were able to do it then? Today the children are on crack or on opiates somewhere. They can't lift a hand, let alone pick a grape. How does this happen to a race? How do they die out like this? Drugs, drugs, drugs weaken them. But, you know, I thought about it. There was an article from in the National Review of all places condemning white people, saying they deserve to die out. I couldn't believe what I was reading, that you can't blame other races for the use of drugs and for this and that. But I was thinking, really, what did denude the white person, the poor white person, of their pride? What happened to them that so many of them went away, went over to drugs, families falling apart, the strong father is gone? And, I mean, really, honestly, from my point of view, and I'm not a religious person, I'll be very honest with you, I'm a cynical guy when it comes to the issues of religion and God. That's why I don't talk about it much. I go in and out of the whole God thing, because that's my problem, not God's problem. See, if God exists, he doesn't care whether I go in and out of it. He's going to be there eternally. So what does he care whether I believe in it or not? He's a God. He's not a king. A king would care and punish me, but God wouldn't care because he's benevolent and benign. So it's my problem that I go in and out of my belief in God. I'll be honest with you. I go in and out of it lately. When I see what Obama gets away with and what Hillary gets away with, I lose my faith. But having said that, the poor white folk had churches. If you drive through America, you see those antiquated little things called churches with crosses on them that are now rehab centers and places for people with mental disorders to meet. Tuesday nights, the Alcoholics Anonymous meets in a church. Wednesday night, it's Sex Anonymous. Thursday night, it's Pornography Anonymous. But there's no God anymore in these churches. Tuesday, the Alks. Wednesday, the drunks. Thursday, the porno addicts. And the parking lots are full because they're all funded by the government. But I look at these color photos, the Western Depression, World War II, and I say to myself, what happened to the white man and the white people? How did they get, what happened? So I would say it's the lack of the God. Once they stop going to church, and once they stop believing in an all-seeing, all-powerful God, they went to you-know-where. They crossed the river. And it's the same, by the way, for the poor black people. If you look back in the 1950s, the black family was strong. They were still church-going. Blacks had tens of thousands of businesses in this country. And that all ended with the 60s hippie generation. Ended with the welfare state. Maybe the same thing is true for the white person, the poor white. Welfare maybe destroyed them. Maybe it's welfare that killed them. And a loss of God. I don't know. These are my thoughts. They're a little rambling. But then again, I'm a talk show. It's not a philosopher. I'm not here being judged for my professorial abilities, am I? But that's my analysis. So I could ask you your analysis, for that matter, if you want to get philosophical with me or with the audience. Let's make that a topic for a few minutes. Why do you think the white family in particular has fallen apart? The poor white family has dropped. Here's a picture of a family that I have on the website. Color photos, the Western Depression, World War II. The federal government hired photographers and went around and photographed them during the WPA. Amazing organization, that WPA, by the way. Saved America. Socialism. That socialism saved America. I've talked about it. My father benefited from the WPA. He told me, was it not for Roosevelt's WPA, he would have been in the streets. They gave this poor kid in New York City a job driving for some assemblyman somewhere in Saratoga Springs. I don't even know how he got it. He wasn't even a political guy. Immigrant. How did he got it? I don't know. I don't know who he knew. There's a strong father, strong as nails, wiry, ornery. The mother, submissive mother. And there's the four children, three blondies and a red hair. They had four children. They had no money. How come they were able to have children with no money? Today, a guy with money is afraid to have a child. Some kid who's like works for Zuckerberg. Let's say he makes 300 grand a year. He won't have a child. He wants to spend it all on himself in a car. Vacations, I don't know. They won't have a child. The children have no value anymore to people. That's an interesting story. Why have children lost their value in America? What happened to children as something blessed, somebody, something to be, you know, to have? want. I mean, when I was a young man, I was goaded constantly by the family and by relatives. So, when are you getting married? So, when are you getting married? Because you were looked upon as something wrong with you. I didn't know one guy in my entire circle who didn't marry young. If the only guy I knew was gay, he didn't get married young. No one knew at the time. He hit it, the poor guy. I felt bad for him. He's a big guy. No one ever knew who he was. Then when we heard him, no one ridiculed him. Just fair. That's what he was. That's what he did. No one made a mockery of him. But there was a lot of social pressure to get married and have children. When are you going to have children? When are you going to have children? When are you going to have children? That's called social pressure. That's what you need in a society. But then along comes the 60s and don't be judgmental. Don't tell your son what to do. Don't tell your daughter not to sleep with a sorority sister. That's too judgmental. So now you wake up and the women have nothing, zero. They're marching around with a dog instead of a baby. New York City pushing a carriage with a dog in it. Do they want the dog or do they want a child? White Light, White Heat by Julian Casablancas. Who is Julian Casablancas? Is he alive? Is he a functional musician? He is good. I never heard of this guy. This is the kind of topic I want to talk about. Now I'm feeling better. I had my pinworm sushi during the break. You don't know what I'm putting up with today. Your hair would stand up. Only I could do this. It's because I was raised raised with a work ethic so young that I put up with anything. I started in this studio I'm in now this morning. Then I was told I had to leave because PG&E was here to jackhammer my driveway to change a gas meter. I planned it, so I went up to another house I own. I get settled in, and 30 minutes before the show, I hear that the ISDN line is breaking up at the other house. I got to jump in the car with the dog and come back down to this studio. Now I'm doing the show with jackhammers in the driveway for the last 2.5 hours. And I'm saying, okay, you know what? Big deal. Make believe it's a war going on out there. You're in Beirut. Make believe you're a broadcaster and it's Beirut, Lebanon. And there's machine gun fire outside. That's all. So I change things. Lucky I have a very fertile imagination. Then I was starving. I sent my assistant out. I said, get me the Japanese meal, the salmon teriyaki, no sauce, well done. And I just said, get me a tuna roll, which I have. I said, make sure it's got the seaweed around it. I like the iodine. He said, okay, sure. I call him in the store. Have the seaweed? Yes. He brings it to me. It's gobs of white rice. You can almost see the handprint on the rice with some uncooked fish in the middle. I ate it anyway. I'm starving. This is the problem in radio. I haven't sat down to a normal meal in 22 years this March. But then who wants a normal meal? I want to be like everyone else. Imagine if I had 3 hours for lunch, how boring that would be. Well, she packed on weight. There's Hillary jumping up and down. She put it on. Where's she packing it on? It's from sitting in the airplane and the buses, the meat. What does she eat? You know, you can tell a man by what he... What does Trump eat? I happen to know a little bit about his diet. He likes meatloaf. Did you know that? He doesn't drink alcohol. She knocks it down pretty good. I remember when they did an analysis of the airplane, the kind of way on the plane. I think she hits it pretty hard, too, on the road. But Trump doesn't drink. That's why he can work 20 hours a day. Alcohol sucks your energy. Terrible. I had two last night. I don't feel good from it. I was so nervous from the opiate discussion, I had to go have a couple of drinks last night. No, really rattled me. We talked about opiates yesterday. I got upset I got so upset from the discussion. I was excited by it. I enjoyed it. It was depressing hearing the people call what it's done to their lives. But it affected me. My own show affected me. I couldn't wait for the show to be over and night to fall. Night falls in the Savage Nation. I don't drink during the day. I never have. But I couldn't wait for the nightfall. I couldn't stand daylight savings time. Made me wait an hour longer. But I don't feel that good from two drinks. I don't like it. It's a terrible thing, alcohol. Gives you a release, and then the next day you feel like, what's the point of living? Strips you. So I did a painting last night as a result of the opiate show. I did another watercolor. That's right. I haven't done one in 2 months. I was so inspired that I did a painting, and I'll tell you about it the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. We have breaking news. Sad but true. Seven Rhino Republicans are meeting with Supreme Court nominee. We knew this would happen. The fake Republicans have said that they're willing to consider a meeting with Merrick Garland, who Obama wants to be on the Supreme Court. We knew this would happen. Leading the pack is the quisling Susan Collins, Republican of Transylvania. Following Susan Collins, the Republican of Transylvania, is, who's this person? Senator Jeff Flakey, Republican of Slabovia. Another one is going to meet is Senator Mark Kirk, Republican of Lithuania. Representative Portman, Republican of Ohio. And Kelly Ayotte. I mean, she's a military woman. What is she meeting for? All of whom face tough re-election battles. Each said Wednesday were open a meeting with Obama's appointee, Garland. Ayotte told Politico she would meet with the nominee out of courtesy and to explain why she thinks the seat should remain vacant until next year. Look, you know what it's all about. She's trying to hedge the bet because they know that the country's split. She's trying to show she's reasonable so the moderates don't turn against her. But I want to remind you of something. I sure do. There's no such thing as a moderate liberal. Liberalism is a radical philosophy whose aim is surely to destroy slowly or rapidly the structural pillars of a traditional society, said Guru Sajjad Savage. And now we go to the callers on the Savage Nation. No such thing as a moderate liberal. So I was painting last night after the opiate show, and I did a figure of a woman called X-Ray. I can't show it to you. I can explain it. I'll just give a simple version. It'll be on my... I'm going to do an art show. It's one of my goals is to display all of my paintings in a gallery. It may have to be a digital gallery. So this is a drawing, sort of like an X-ray. It's called X-Ray. And let's say it's a stick figure of a woman. And her eyes have a little... Like her eyes, right? Instead of the pupil, you see an O, and then there's an XY inside the O. And then on her arm, her left arm says V-A-L-I-U-M, her right arm says A-M-B-I-E-N. There's a picture of the four chambers of her heart. It's called H-E-R with an O and then an I-N. In her left leg, you see the word methadone, M-E-T-H-A-D-O-N-E. And her right leg says M-E-T-H-O-D-I-S-T. It's a joke. That's all I can describe on the Savage Nation. Kill it. I don't want to hear it. Awful. They had one good song. You know, that's the problem with a lot of popular musicians. They have one big hit and the rest is doesn't hit. Doesn't catch. 22 years in radio this March 22nd. I am not going to have a big to-do about it. No celebration. Birthday's the 31st. No party. Last year I threw one. No one ever invited me back, so no parties. I used to throw parties. I used to do a lot of things. No more. Become a recluse. Do you get parties? I'm going to ask the audience. They still get like a five-year-old has a party with a hat. What do you need a party for unless you're selling something when you think about it? Who throws parties if you're a mature person unless you're trying to sell something? Running for office? Okay, you run it and throw a party. A salesman of some kind? Insurance? You throw a party. Or you join a country club that nobody wants to be a member of. Just, I understand that, but otherwise you don't need this. There's such good television and so many good books and magazines to read and play with dog. What do you need to join anything for? Or am I, is this like anti-American not to be a member of some kind of Republican club? So what's in the news? What is this every day? Claudia Jenner, whatever her name is. I can't stand this guy. What is this every day? A political story on Breitbart. What are they obsessed with a transgender for? What's going on with Breitbart? Who's running that organization? Jenner is surprised Cruz hasn't reached out about trans ambassador job. I've never seen anything like this. The whole thing is a charade. Jared Fogle left bloodied after prison yard beatdown. Don't care. Obama fills out NCAA tournament bracket. What'd you expect? What'd you expect? He should have gone to Nancy Reagan's funeral? What, do you expect him to do something for America? Trump picks AIPAC over Fox News debate. I think we've had enough. He's right. Jeff Sessions, U.S. economy cannot sustain current lawful immigration rates. Nothing new about that. What else is in the news? London University Islamic Society segregates women with 7-foot barrier. Feminists defend. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Kasich vows to continue the convention, but needs more than 100% of remaining delegates. Okay. Rubio is on the way to Havana to open an ice cream stand. What else? Megyn Kelly to interview stars for primetime special. I don't like her at all. She went from being a very attractive, very intelligent, frankly, very sharp political analyst and commentator to something. I told you her face is changing. Watch the nose. Forget the hairdo. Megyn Kelly's nose is becoming increasingly wide-nostriled. The nastier she becomes, the wider her nostrils become. Porcine is the word, I believe. Porcine is what's happening. It's the portrait of Dorian Gray, but you need to read the original to know what that is. Ryan suggests he may reach for nomination at convention. That's nonsense. He's got to get rid of that beard if he wants to run. No one elects anyone. I tell you right, I have a beard, but nobody elects anyone in politics with a beard. It's still associated with radicals. What's with the beard that Ryan grew? What's he trying to prove? At least grow a beard. What's the stubble? I don't understand the stubble thing. I mean, if you want a beard, have a beard. What's with the stubble? That stubble look. It's stubbly. It looks like, you know, it's not like you really want a beard. You're not sure you want a beard, but you're too lazy to shave. That's what that kind of stubble looks like. Or it's a guy who's not sure he wants a beard. Want a beard? Grow a beard. What's with the stubble? He's trying it out to see what his wife thinks of it. What do you think of the beard? Ugh, get it off there. You look like Fidel Castro's illegitimate cousin. Ugh, get rid of it. Cruz come in second in Illinois after 5-city blitz. Obama upset about vulgar divisive rhetoric. That's a joke. Airstrike kills Islamic State war minister. Good, good, good. Good. I like it. It's a good use of my tax dollars. Knife attacker, Allah told me to come here and kill. Don't you love it, multiculturalism? You look at the guy's face, you know he was a murderer. At the border, I would have turned him away. At the border, I would have sent him to Sing Sing. Look at his eyes. They're crazy killer eyes. They can't see it in his eyes, in the nose, in the face. He's a hater! Okay, but no, no, no. You can't judge anybody. Marco Rubio suspends campaign. Marco Rubio suspends campaign. What campaign? It ended when he started going crazy and attacking Trump. That was it. The stupid jokes? Who wrote the jokes? I want to know who wrote Rubio's jokes, the attack Trump jokes. I want to know who the advisor was. This was a bad move, of course. It killed him. But who did it? Who advised him to go tough and sound stupid? I wish I knew who wrote those things for him. The small hands, remember? Big men with small hands. Stupid! Stupid making fun of his hair. That was the end of his campaign. I'd like to know who advised him on that. Priest, founder of Mexican American Cultural Center, commits suicide. We don't make jokes about suicide. Let's see. Madonna accuses critics of sexism and misogyny after the concert meltdown. What was that about? She fell on the floor with a tequila bottle and said someone, I can't even say it on the radio. And that's sexism to note what she said? Okay, well, that's more or less not the news. It's not the news at all. Okay, can I have one day without a transgender in my face? Can I have one day without the freak show for one day? God bless you. Want to do what you do? Go ahead and do it. Leave me alone already. Every day a freak show. Part of the American cultural meltdown. So you got kids 5 years old who don't know what they are. They see a guy who was a football player wearing a skirt with a wig and the kid thinks he's transgender. It's messing the children up. No, don't be judgmental, Mike. It's just that it's a choice. It's a lifestyle choice. You're being very intolerant. All right. Now what? Okay, callers. I don't know. Okay, that's a good call on KSFO. Brian, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today, Brian?
Michael, white America is under attack with opiates. I can tell you firsthand, I've been a drug and alcohol counselor for over 12 years. There are high schools that are called heroin high, Catholic high schools that are labeled heroin high.
I just got to interject. I joked here in Marin County for years. I was slammed for it. When someone said to me, what's the difference between blank Catholic high school and the normal public school? I said, drugs are cleaner in the Catholic school.
No. I don't mean to laugh. Michael, you got it. I'm telling you, that's what's not being said in the news today. Let me tell you something about OxyContin. OxyContin used to come in a tablet where you can dissolve it, to where you can shoot it, you can chop it up, you can smoke it, you can snort it, or you can take it orally. Congress, from what I found out, Congress had passed a bill stating that OxyContin, the manufacturers of OxyContin, had put a chemical now in the tablet of OxyContin to where you cannot chop it up, to where you can dissolve it. There is a chemical in it. If you try to dissolve it, it turns into a red gel.
Isn't that a good thing?
It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. It's just showing what an epidemic it is.
No, what you're saying is instead of outlawing it, they took a half step. They should ban OxyContin and just stop making it. It's a deadly drug. It's addicting an entire race.
Absolutely. Vicodin, hydrocodone, Percocet, OxyContin, methadone, everything that you're talking about, Michael, I know. You know. I'm not telling
you. Well, Brian, you know, I was given some of these when I had dental work, for example. I had a dental implant. They gave me Vicodin. I can't use these things for a reason. I'm very lucky. I take a pill, and I get itchy skin, terrible itchy skin. I get constipated, so I don't get addicted to this stuff. I don't like what it does to me.
I'm just like you. I'm very hypersensitive when it comes to drugs. I can feel the effects of aspirin.
I take a Vicodin, my skin itches like I got bugs crawling in my skin.
Michael.
But I guess most people don't feel that, so they like the high they get off it. How many pills does it take for a kid to get addicted?
One.
What?
One.
One pill and they're addicted?
One pill. Michael, you know it's an addictive gene. There are kids out there, it runs in the gene, and the families don't know about it, because they think, you know, drinking alcohol is okay. It's okay because it's legal. See, but what they don't know is they're drinking alcohol. Mom and dad are alcoholics. Your topic yesterday was spot on.
A lot of people attacked me saying, oh, you shouldn't have done the show on drug addiction, not in such a political time. To me, there's nothing more political than drug addiction.
You hit the nail right on the head. Donald,
now, you are a counselor where? Here in the San Francisco area, Brian?
That is correct. Michael, I got...
I ran into a black pastor I know from Sausalito, one of the great guys. Huge man, wonderful man. He runs a church out of Sausalito, one of the kindest, gentle giant. And he said to me, Michael, he said, do you know what kind of addiction I am dealing with white kids from the rich communities in the Bay Area? If I told you what they're hooked on, your hair would stand up. He told me they're cross-addicted on crack and pills at the same time, out of Ross, out of Belvedere. He said the parents don't even know they're hooked.
He's absolutely right, Michael. He's absolutely right. They're mixing meth with heroin. And it's an epidemic. Michael,
Trump is the only one who has said that when he is president, he'll close the borders, and he said, I'll stop the flow of drugs coming from Mexico. I haven't heard that from Ted Cruz, have you?
No, I have not. He's one of three brothers, Michael, from what I know. And he lost a brother to, I believe, drugs or alcohol. And I know he's very...
I believe his brother died from alcoholism, not from drugs. That is true. That's a truth, and it hurt him, and he doesn't drink himself. He will not touch a drop of alcohol.
I'm the same way, Michael. I'm a different breed when it comes to drug and alcohol counseling. I'm a different breed. I am not your typical drug and alcohol counselor.
Well, you would once a druggie?
No, I'm not. I lost my mom and dad to alcoholism.
Oh, that's sad. I can't imagine what that's like. Living with two alcoholics must be awful because you probably had a horrible childhood. Because a lot of people in drug rehab business or drug counselors are former addicts themselves, right?
True. That is absolutely right. But you know what? I had a great upbringing. I had four walls and a roof. People would consider me middle class. But, I grew up in a beautiful neighborhood. It's just, I have a lot of friends that went south by some of these drugs that are out there. And there you are again, Michael, you are absolutely right. There are gateway drugs. Marijuana.
Well, okay, you're a drug counselor. Am I right that marijuana is a gateway drug?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well,
100%.
I'm the only one who sees what this is?
No, Michael, no, you're not. You don't. I have people that have done drugs for 25, 30 years, and I've asked them the same question. Let me ask you, Mr. So-and-so, do you think marijuana is a gateway drug? They will all tell you, the ones that are sincere that really want to get clean, they'll tell you absolutely. Well, do you think alcohol is a gateway drug? Absolutely. Because what it does is it inhibits you from thinking rationally. It prevents you from being focused to the natural world.
Well, look, let's get back to politics. Trump is the only candidate who's even addressed the drug scourge and said he'll stop the flow of heroin from Mexico. He dared say that. That's a very risky thing to say. And shortly thereafter, he was attacked by the Mexican government. Hello? Can someone put two and two together with that one?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, hello? I mean, the Mexican government doesn't know who's exporting drugs to America? They couldn't stop it with their own military if they wanted? So Trump is the only one daring to say it? Of all of them. Well, thank you, my friend Brian, for listening to the Savage Nation so intently. And notice, I didn't give the caller a litmus test, conservative, liberal. I didn't care. He just works in this business, and he knows what dangers children are put in with the drug propaganda that marijuana is, you know, benign. It's not benign. And it's being pushed by politicians on both sides of the aisle who are either ignorant or they're owned by the lobbyists in the marijuana business. I'll be back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Yeah, this is a crazy story to close the show. Thailand's monks are put on a diet and fitness regime amid obesity time bomb. Can you believe this? More than half of the country's Buddhist monks are obese. They have an obesity time bomb. They look like Republicans. You should see the pictures of them. What weight on these guys? A heavy-set Buddhist monk reads Buddhist philosophy at the entrance to his temple in Chiang Mai, Thailand. My God, this guy's a heavy one. And the reason it's happening is because there's early morning alms, ALMS, not ARMS. They're not in America, not ARMS, ALMS. And the saffron-clad monks walk around with their collection bowls to collect food and drink as beggars. But this tradition is contributing to an obesity epidemic. Why? Now they're fat. They have obesity, suffering problems such as high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol. Because the donations that they're getting in food, the alms, often consist of drink, juices, sweet tea, snacks, and street foods, all laden with fat and sugar. I think that Mayor Bloomberg could have a new career going over there to save the Buddhist monks from themselves. He could eliminate the 32-ounce Slurpee, number one. If he gets rid of the cups, the 32-ouncer, that cuts down right there. The largely sedentary nature of temple monastic life with large amounts of time spent in prayer meditation is also exacerbating the health woes. See, anything can be bad for you. Too much prayer can kill you. They got off their behinds and put down the book for a while and walked around the temple. Academics and religious and health officials and academics have now launched a campaign to promote leaner clerical living by weaning monks off unhealthy food, teach them how to prepare nutritionally balanced meals, and encourage them to exercise. Are you kidding me? I lie. I never met a Buddhist I didn't like. The truth is they're nice people. But how are they so fat? 42% of monks have high cholesterol. 23% suffer from high blood pressure, more than 10% are diabetic. Like the demographic of my audience. These guys are born Republicans. I think we should let them in on amnesty. They look like my listeners. And the diseases match the demographics the most. Does anyone out there have a sense of humor anymore? Come on. Everyone's mad already.
We're going to support Cruz and his Rubio.
They don't have constitutions. These guys could use a good constitution. That's what they could use, a good constitution. Something else they could use to lose a little weight. It's the Savage Nation. Be happy.